summer, as you know, we've been spending time in an orchard. We've been spending our time in a very unique orchard, a spiritual orchard. Pastor Jim started this series a number of weeks ago on the fruit of the Spirit, and there are 9 characteristics of this fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 has kind of been the focus, or at least the verse in which Pastor Jim has given us a number of sermons on. But as you recall what Galatians says, 9 of those characteristics, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is my first jumping into this series, so we're at number 7. I've got to say it was interesting. Just a few weeks ago, just last week, happened to do my niece's wedding. She was married over at Ridgewood Church. She actually chose Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I started out and told everybody that, pastors develop 9 series sermons on this. So I could go on for a very long time. That didn't go over too well, you know. They were relieved to know that it was going to be short and to the point. But one thing I noticed is looking over this list. You know, if anybody ever asked me, and sometimes they do, you know, how do you know if you are going to get married? What would you look in? What is important to have in a person when you're thinking about spending your entire life with them? You know, I think if you ask the Lord, what would you think I should be looking for? I think a good idea is to just bring them to Galatians 5, chapter 22 and 23, and say, look at this person that you're thinking about. Does this person, he or she, demonstrate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I mean, if you look at their personal life, if you see this type of fruit, I would tell you, God's Spirit needs to be in this person. So, I really think that generally I think of the fruit of the Spirit are personal characteristics that we need to have in our life that demonstrates God's working. But I also think that all of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are just so essential, not simply that our personal lives run well, but that our whole society runs well. And I don't think it was any different for the city of Ephesus in that time when Paul wrote this letter. In fact, the section we're going to read tonight has this subtitle, Living as Children of Light. In other words, living as children in light, as in light, in kind of a dark, dark, and I would think somewhat faithless society. And Paul felt for those believers in Ephesus, and I think it's a message for us today, that it is so very important that we as children of God, of His kingdom, practice, and tonight particularly practice, being faithful people. And as important and difficult as it was for these believers, I think, in Ephesus, it still remains so important and difficult, and I'll say sometimes downright sticky, for us to practice being faithful people. So, if you turn with me this evening to that passage in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it's chapter 4. I'll be reading verse 17 through 29. But just in introduction, there's another verse I'm going to be bringing in, so I thought I would just read verse 15 as well, where Paul says first in verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, and that is Christ." Now, verse 17 to 29. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now, before jumping into what it means to be faithful, let me say just a few more things about why I think faithfulness is so important for us to practice in today's society. So, again, Paul talks about being faithful in this dark generation. But then what I'd like to do then is talk a little bit about, you know, what faithfulness is and how to go about doing that. But if you've been watching the news just over the last few months, and you asked a question to get at this whole problem: what have people lost faith in nowadays? What have people lost faith in these days? Just over a month ago, on July 7, we witnessed a man by the name of Michael Xavier Johnson, who ambushed a group of police officers. And you know, by watching that account, 5 officers were killed. I believe 9 other were critically wounded. And he said that he was waging war against white people, but especially white police officers. And he said he couldn't trust them anymore. After news reports, as we saw, came in from other cities that young black males were, in his mind, being targeted and being killed, he felt that he should take the law in his own hands. And I thought it was kind of interesting, as when you read the book of Judges, remember when there was no king, that over and over again, we were told in the Bible that every person took up what was right in their own eyes. People are beginning to not have faith in public servants anymore. You know, you don't have to simply look in that world, but think about the world of sports. You know, You can watch modern-day sports and, you know, do people trust athletes? Is there loyalty when you watch sports? I remember a few years back, do you remember Lance Armstrong, who was that tremendous bicyclist who won the Tour de France, and he overcame, you know, an illness, cancer, that seemed like it was going to take him down, but he came back. And then in, I believe in 2013, he was on Oprah, and he basically told her and told us that he had used performance-enhancing drugs. And it doesn't seem like even the Olympics are sheltered from that. Different athletes, what they will do, what they will go through in order to win. Can you trust them anymore? Can you trust the loyalty of a ball player who says, "I love playing for this city. I am so committed to it. This is the place I want to be," only to find out next year that when a larger contract comes up, where the greater money is, the athlete seems to follow. Sometimes I wonder, where are the alkalines of life, you know? We seem to be losing trust in athletics as well. And how about the business world? These companies that you used to be able to trust, they produced reliable automobiles. Automobiles, reliable automobiles, seem to be their mission and goal in life. Only to find out that certain people are beginning to cheat on mileage standards for cars. And then you start to wonder, wow, if companies can cheat on mileage standards for their vehicles, what else are they cheating on nowadays? Can we trust them? And last, but certainly not least, trust and confidence in government is at an all-time low. People just don't trust the government. People hide out in the backwoods of Oregon in isolated places, again, developing their own set of rules and laws. They feel they can be exempt from any government regulations because they, once again, are a law unto their own eyes. Hate to say this, but political candidates seem to zero in on this and actually throw mud at the other candidate. You can't trust her, folks. She's a liar. That's what one party says. While the other party states that you can't trust him in this office because you don't know how he's going to act or what he's going to say. How can you have confidence in someone like that? You know, I'll tell you, if a society cannot put down basic blocks of trust and confidence in each other, after a while, we will have no society at all. I mean, these are simply just some of the institutions and organizations where people lack trust, but I'm sure you could add on to that list. People don't trust the church anymore. People don't trust pastors anymore. When I first came into the ministry, I was often afraid. I'm going to tell you this, you know, somebody asks, "Well, what do you do?" And you say, "Well, I'm a pastor." And it used to be everybody would say, "Uh-oh, watch out, he's a pastor, don't say something, watch your language." Now I kind of feel like if you say, I'm a pastor, somebody looks at you and says, man, I don't know if I trust that guy anymore. Things have changed and darkness has set in. But what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, and I think what God is saying to people who now have Jesus living inside of them, now is the time to step up and shine brightly in a world that is so darkened with mistrust, deception, and lies. We need today people who model integrity. Don't be all that you can be, as it's said, but be all that God has called you to be. That should be our model and motivation as Christians. So what does it mean then to be faithful? A faithful citizen in God's kingdom. Well, first of all, I'd say it does mean being faithful to God. You know, I know we typically think about our faith in God, and we say being, you know, having faith in God means putting our trust and confidence in Jesus, and that he died for our sins, and that we're going to go to heaven some days. And that is so true. I know that's true. But I think here Paul is thinking in terms of being faithful citizens in relationship to this world around us that is faithless. Now listen what he says here. He says, talking about Gentiles around them, he says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, have you ever noticed how advertisements have changed over the years? I mean, when you used to buy coffee, Maxwell House used to say, well, it's good to the last drop, all right? I mean, you can have confidence that this coffee is going to be good even all the way to the last. It's a good product. It's a reliable product. Drink it. You can have confidence in it. Now, I think, you know, this slogan that came out a number of years ago. Remember that slogan, what goes on in Vegas, it stays in Vegas. And I think what the advertiser is trying to key in on is when you come to Las Vegas, you can indulge in whatever you want to, whatever feeds your own personal desire, whatever you want, whatever you desire, go for it here. And when you indulge and meet that need, those needs of yours, you can be confident of this, at least one thing, it stays right here. Advertisements have changed nowadays. And then there's this other word that I think is getting thrown around so often. People, you need to be authentic. And when you think about what do they mean by when we're told that, you know, being authentic is what you need to do. I think if you watch people and observe people, people are authentic when they're not afraid to tell whatever they've been doing or whatever they're up to. I mean, if Miley Cyrus wants to be authentic on television, she's going to be authentic on television. If somebody else needs to be blunt and speak their mind, they're going to be authentic. I get the sense here what Paul is calling us to do is not do what human nature naturally wants to do, that is filling up sensuality, but we need to be people who need to be more sensitive. And I'd say that starts with being sensitive to not our own needs, but to somebody higher than who we are. Beginning with God and being faithful to Him. So first, being faithful to God. Next, I'd say, what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus? I'd say we need to be faithful in speaking the truth. Again, in verse 25, Paul says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. You know, what Paul's saying here almost sounds exactly what God told Moses in the Ten Commandments. Remember that Ten Commandment that he said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, you know, if you've ever looked at that, particularly the second half of the law, you know, you wonder to yourself, well, why didn't he just say, you know, he says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Why doesn't he just say, don't lie? He says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. I think it's because lies so deeply destroy relationships. When people don't live out the truth, I mean, it is like pouring toxic chemicals on relationships. I mean, a kid goes off to college, okay? Your son or your daughter goes off to college, and you know, you call in and you say something like, hey, Jane, how's it going at college? Oh, Mom, it's going great. It's going great. Fantastic. I have wonderful friends. Well, how's the studying going? Oh, I'm working hard. I'm working so hard. It's tough here at Calvin, but I am putting. And how about your friends? You have good. Oh, I've got the best of friends. All my friends go to church. Everything is so great. It's wonderful here. And then it gets to the end of the semester, and you find out that Jane hadn't been attending one certain class and got a total incomplete and failed miserably, while on this other one, she made it by on the skin of her teeth. When you call up a professor, says, well, I'll tell you, Jane just never was here to class. Finally, just had to drop my class. She never did half of her, the other professor says she never did half of her assignments. Now, what happens to Mom the next time she thinks about Jane at college? You know, phone calls that a child used to anticipate from Mom, all of a sudden they have caller ID, don't want to talk to Mom anymore. Why? Because lies just so completely destroy relationships. Therefore, to be faithful people, we need to be people who speak the truth. That's number two. We need to be faithful in our motivation as well. Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, Tim Keller, this famous preacher out in New York, he says that nowadays he believes that people see the church today as people who use the truth in order to beat up on other people. That's what he says. He says that's something that the Pharisees did back in Jesus' day. I mean, they spoke the truth, but they spoke the truth in order to tear people down. If there's a Pharisee and a publican in a public place of prayer, and the Pharisee talks about all the laws that he's keeping and how he's following God to the T, that's all true. That's all said. 100% of what that Pharisee says is true. Is he doing better than the publican? Of course he is. But he uses truth in order not to build somebody up, but to break them down. You know, I think we preachers need to be a little sensitive to that as well. You know, Rick Warren said once, he says, I do a lot of coaching of preachers. And he says, every once in a while I'll find this preacher that says, you know, Rick, I just get up there and I tell the people, just, I put it out there like it is. I just tell them what it is. Rick says, you know, every once in a while, he says, I have a person from my congregation say, boy, Rick, I enjoyed that sermon so much, man. I just felt so bad after you preached that sermon. And every week, can you just imagine this person coming back and just waiting for another beating from Rick Warren? Rick Warren says, I don't tell it like it is. I tell it like it could be. And I like that. Because no matter where you are at in your life, to tell what it could be like if Christ is walking and is active in your life, you're preaching by faith. So be faithful in your motivation, trying to build up people, to see people who they can be totally in Christ. Finally, when it comes to living as faithful citizens in God's in this faithless world, I think the best advice that Paul gives here is in verse 15. And it's the stickiest advice because it gets you into all sorts of sticky situations. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love, in all things, we grow into him who is the head, Christ. Now, have you ever gotten into a sticky situation? Do you speak the truth? Or do you speak it in love? You're at your mother-in-law's home. She invites you over. You're going to have a meal together. She's spent countless hours preparing this fish dinner. And you know that it'll be a very special dinner because your father-in-law caught all the fish. But as you walk into that house, I mean the whole house permeates of this fish in that home. And you don't particularly care for all that fatty grease and breading that people put on those things, but there it is, a half an inch thick. You sit down and you start eating that fish dinner that your mother-in-law has made and your father-in-law has caught, filled with carbohydrates, had to have been the most crummy thing that you've eaten in your life. And then she turns to you and says, "Well, what do you think of the dinner?" Now, a friend of mine always said, when I get into a situation like that, I always say, "That's very interesting." Now, what do you do? Do you speak the truth? Or do you speak love? Well, it's Christmas time. And your daughter has lived away on the other side of the country. And she's met a boyfriend. She's been going with this boyfriend. You've been thinking about, boy, it'd be so nice for her to meet somebody. Well, you now have a relationship together. She's even met somebody from Calvin College out there. And they've been living together for 8 months. And you're not that happy with that living situation. It doesn't seem to bother them, but it bothers you so terribly bad. Now, she can't wait to bring him home. She can't wait to bring him home, be there in your home together. So what do you do? Do you say, "Come on over. Yeah, here's your place right here. That's fine." Or do you speak the truth and say, "You know where we stand. You'll be staying over here, you'll be staying over here, or maybe it'd be a better idea if he stayed over here and you stayed here." What is a parent to do? You know, I knew a Christian Reformed pastor. It's not just ethical issues, but principles as well. I knew a Christian Reformed pastor that was so dead set against women in office. Scripturally, it's pointed out, should be no deacons, there should be no elders, and certainly there should be no pastors. But then one day, his daughter gets a tug to go into ministry. Now, here he's caught. How do you speak the truth in love? Being faithful, speaking the truth in love, brings you into sticky situations. I just had a few, sometimes I wish the Bible had, it was a mile long and God could have seen all of these issues all in advance, that would have had a rule book. But I do believe that since this is the fruit of the Spirit, that God's Spirit is living inside of us, and he's giving us guidance. So I just have a few things maybe to consider, you know. One of them you could do is just ask your pastor and tell him to solve your problem, okay? I don't like that one very much. I don't pass the buck, although we're here to help. But I think sometimes for myself and for others, you know, I'd make an honest evaluation first of yourself. You know, all of us on this gamut of speaking the truth in love or being truthful and graceful, we're all over that, you know? I probably tend to be more on the graceful side than on the truthful side. And I need to remember that. I need to remember that, that God, I tend to go over this way. So help me stay the course. I would pray and pray and pray that God help you to say what you need to say, but to coat it so heavily in love that you can't help but taste of that wonderful taste of love, maybe before you get into something that's a little more harder to swallow. I think it's wise to talk to people that you feel are spirit-led and ask other people's advice. And I finally threw one more on here. I think a way that all of us here show love is to first listen to people. Now, you may go into a situation that you totally disagree. And I'll tell you, folks, I feel like we are going to get into these situations more and more and more. A nephew, a granddaughter, a son who's gay. Will you come to my wedding? Now, I think sitting down and listening to people, sitting down with somebody who says, Black Lives Matter, and we need to listen and we need to understand why people feel this way. You may still come out of the side and say, I still don't believe that's right. We may need to agree to disagree. But if we don't take the time to listen, I wonder if we truly are demonstrating love. May God help us all. Would you pray with me, please? God, being faithful in a dark, faithless world is something you call us to be and do. We are so glad that it is under the list here of the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that your Spirit is inside of us, working, giving us discernment, and we rely on you so heavily. So continue to help us to be true and faithful servants. In your name we pray, amen.